Governor Scott Walker delivers his budget address to the state legislature tomorrow night. We'll get a preview and some advanced analysis and reaction to his proposals in this edition of our State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, February 2nd. We know the governor will propose a $300 million cut and more autonomy for the UW system. And he has shared some other budget plans over the last week. Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson will bring us up to date and answer any questions you might have. Plus, Sean has more on Governor Walker's presidential ambitions. Did you happen to catch him on ABC's This Week yesterday morning talking about foreign policy and how he wouldn't rule out boots on the ground in Syria? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Well, before we get to the budget preview, let's talk about Governor Walker's latest indicators that he is running for president or that he plans to run for president. So he formed some sort of committee last week, didn't he, that presidential candidates do?
He did. He formed, but not every presidential candidate forms this type of committee. He formed a 527 committee, which allows him to raise unlimited funds, forces him to disclose the donors of that money, but it's an unusual, committee for a candidate because it can't promote candidates. So it's only promoting the ideas that the governor says that he wants to advance. It can't exactly go out and say vote. It cannot go out and say vote for Scott Walker.
I see.
Although if you go to the group's website and watch its initial web ad, the entire site is about Scott Walker.
So. Yeah, it doesn't say his name, but he's in all the clips.
It's one of those things. I mean, he's not the only candidate to do this, and but it's very obviously a campaign site. But as long as it is careful in its wording, this is not something that the IRS is exactly cracking down on. And so it's a 527 organization for the governor. He still won't say that he's running for president, but how many signs do we need?
Well, a poll came out showing him as top dog in Iowa right now.
It did. After Mitt Romney dropped out, it really reshuffled the field because, even though a lot of people felt, and ultimately Mitt Romney felt, that this wasn't going to be his year, he was still the best known among the candidates. He'd run a couple times before, and so he was leading a lot of these polls. Mitt Romney steps out of the way. That changes everything. And so the Des Moines Register, I think along with Bloomberg, did a poll, and they showed a very tight field at the top. And I think you would say it's too early to say this is good, hard data here, but it gives you an idea of where we are right now at this point in time, and Scott Walker is leading the field. I think the most significant thing in this poll is that they asked people who want, do you want an establishment candidate or an anti-establishment candidate? So Scott Walker was second among those who wanted an establishment Republican to win the nomination, and he was second among those who wanted an anti-establishment Republican to win the nomination. It's probably a pretty good place for him to be, and I don't know if he can walk that line all the way until the Iowa caucuses, but as of right now, he's well liked by a couple segments of the GOP.
And when Mitt Romney bowed out, he did make some sort of reference like maybe it's time for a fresh face, and didn't Governor Walker say it's time for a fresh face too?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Mitt Romney was talking about Governor Walker, given that Governor Walker hasn't had the nicest things to say about Mitt Romney in last year or two. He said that it's time for a fresh face. That could have been, for Mitt Romney, that could have been a little shot at Jeb Bush, who he wasn't too pleased that Jeb Bush was getting in the race, and it may have been why he decided I'm going to jump in. But Scott Walker has definitely been saying we need somebody new. And we need a governor. It just so happens he's both of those, but We're still waiting on that formal announcement.
And then he was appeared on This Week on ABC yesterday, and he was interviewed by, I think it was Martha Raddatz, filling in for George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, Martha Raddatz, who has a specialty in foreign policy, knows her stuff. She was the moderator for the vice presidential debate this last cycle. And she had this, she asked question of the governor about Syria, said, you know, okay, I want to hear your big, bold ideas on Syria. And here's that exchange.
I think we need to have an aggressive strategy anywhere around the world. I think it's a mistake.
So what does that mean? I don't know what aggressive strategy means. If we're bombing and we've done 2,000 airstrikes, what does an aggressive strategy mean in foreign policy?
I think anywhere and everywhere we have to go beyond just aggressive airstrikes. We have to look at other surgical methods. And ultimately, we have to be prepared to put boots on the ground if that's what it takes. Because I think, you know...
On the ground in Syria? Boots on the ground in Syria?
I don't think that's an immediate plan, but I think anywhere in the world...
you wouldn't rule that out.
I wouldn't rule anything out.
So, did he mean to say that?
I haven't heard him say anything differently. I mean, it was a pretty aggressive line of questioning. You know, when you're on one of these national shows, the hosts aren't going to... they're not going to worry about interrupting a governor, right? And so she really... pushed her point there, really wanted to get the answer to that question, and I think she got it. I would look at that as we talk about how is this presidential run going to affect Governor Walker. He's got a budget coming up tomorrow. That's the biggest bill that he'll introduce, and he's in Washington and answering questions about Syria. And he's going to have to answer more questions about Syria. He's going to have to learn about Syria. He's going to have to decide where he stands on issues like that and how it affects the factions of the party he's hoping to woo. It's a big job on top of governing. And, you know, that won't be the last Sunday show you see the governor on this year by a long shot.
Yeah, in fact, Martha Raddatz also, though, mentioned that Senator Marco Rubio had made comments that governors have a lot of good executive experience, but... you know, meeting with Henry Kissinger does not make you a foreign policy expert.
Yeah, I mean, Governor Walker and Senator Rubio are making the points you'd expect a senator and a governor to make, right? Marco Rubio saying this is about you need somebody with strong foreign policy chops, and that is a senator, a.k.a. me. Governor Walker is saying you need somebody with executive experience from the states like me, maybe.
It will be interesting. Well, let's move on to the budget address tomorrow night. Put this in a little bit of context for us, Sean. How hard is it for Governor Walker to present a balanced budget proposal tomorrow night?
Well, it's tricky because he doesn't want to play up the fact that he needs to make cuts. You know, it's sort of admitting that you created a deficit if you talk up the need for cuts. I mean, it's different than when he came into office and the deficit was left for him, you know, he could say by Democrats, by Governor Jim Doyle. And in that situation, you can talk about the need for deep cuts, say my hand was forced. In this situation, this is really a deficit that is his. And you could blame overly optimistic revenue estimates if you want, but it's basically, you know, it comes from the policy of the governor, namely tax cuts that dug a hole that the economic growth of the state couldn't fill. So you got to look at how is he going to fill this, and where's he going to target for cuts to make up that difference. And you know, there's only so many places you can go. We know a big one where the governor is going to go in terms of cuts. And remember, he's got about a $2 billion deficit if you look at the difference between what the state is supposed to collect in tax revenue, compare that to what state agencies have asked for. If you look at maybe a more realistic budget, it's about $930 million between now and the end of the next budget if you want to look at a cost-to-continue budget. You know, what does the state need just to keep doing what it's doing now? And it still faces a $930 million shortfall.
Now, we will talk in a little bit more depth about the $300 million cut that he is proposing for the UW system. But let's Let's, in the minute before our newscast, talk about another big area where money is needed, and that's the transportation funding. Can you, in a minute, Sean, tell us about his, he plans to borrow for that, right?
Yeah, in a minute. This was first reported by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that, I mean, they had a look at his plan before it was released. He's going to want to borrow $1.3 billion in transportation bonds. That's an increase in borrowing for roads. He's going to say it's not an increase in overall borrowing because he's going to use some unused bonding authority for other state building projects, not road projects, but building projects that haven't gone forward yet. But instead of going through, you know, a variety of the funding mechanisms that the DOT suggested, a gas tax, among other things, the governor looks like he's going to lean on borrowing again.
Well, we will talk about other proposed cuts and plans that Governor Walker will deliver tomorrow night in his state budget address after we check the latest news. This is the State Capitol Report. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. And I will toot Sean's horn a little bit here. He was recently listed by the Washington Post's The Fix column as one of the best state political reporters in the country. Yay, Sean.
Oh, thank you.
And you will be co-hosting our coverage of the governor's state budget address tomorrow night at 7. You can hear it here live on Wisconsin Public Radio. Sean will be joined by Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg, and they will be getting analysis from the president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, Todd Berry. That's the governor's state budget address tomorrow night at 7 on Wisconsin Public Radio. So, Sean, we will hear Governor Walker tomorrow night give a few more details on this plan to give the UW system more autonomy, at the same time cutting its budget by $300 million.
Yeah, and this is what, right now, as of right now, this is sort of the one big area we know where the governor is going to have cuts. $300 million for the UW, a big cut. You couple that with the fact that he's going to continue at least an in-state tuition freeze after a tuition freeze in the last budget, and after a budget in which the university was asked and forced to spend down its reserves. And it's looking like a tough budget for the university this go-round. You may want to play some react from lawmakers first on this. And, I mean, when this was released, this is before the governor talked a little bit more about his budget, but just the idea of having this cut, but then also part of the governor's budget is he would create a UW system authority, give it the autonomy, the freedom to set its own budget in the future. So in a couple of years, the UW system could raise tuition to make up some of the cut that it saw in this cycle and the last cycle. So this is something that Republican Senator Steve Noss, this is his first year in the Senate, but he's long been a outspoken critic of the University of Wisconsin. He was not fond of this idea when it was released, and his thinking is that you create this authority, yeah, you've got a tuition freeze now, but what happens in a couple years?
My big concern is that when the tuition freeze goes off, the Board of Regents, a board that's not elected, that meets once a month, will be in free will to raise tuition to what they believe they need to continue on. They'll also have greater latitude in a market-based tuition, so they can decide what demands are on certain majors and raise tuition for those particular majors.
And that's absolutely true. Both points that he made there, and that's something that the UW system said, yeah, we're interested in maybe a market-based tuition where it's a little more specific to the major. And, of course, if they're facing a cut and they've got the freedom to make up some of that in a couple of years, they would do it. But you're talking, you know, well into double digits to make up even part of the cut this time. So it really could be a sizable increase, a tuition increase percentage-wise to make up just part of this lost revenue.
Yeah, but with a tuition freeze in place, for the 2 years, how does the UW deal with the $300 million worth in cuts?
Well, for a couple of years, I mean, you had Ray Cross on your program, and that got a lot of attention. He said that he sort of started out saying, it's probably too early to say, but then he said, I don't know how you can avoid layoffs. I mean, we're a people-based business. Some campuses have 8% of our budget wrapped up in the people who work there. I don't know how you do it without layoffs. It's something that UW-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank echoed, that there's going to be layoffs throughout the colleges on the UW-Madison. So, I mean, that's definitely a point that they're making in the early going.
And Sean, I need to say, and I sometimes forget to say it each time we talk about the state budget, and especially a proposed cut to the UW right. system, both Sean and I and Wisconsin Public Radio are a part of the University of Wisconsin system. We are employees of the University of Wisconsin Extension, and any budget cuts would affect us.
Sure.
So the governor also, I guess, raised a lot of eyebrows when he said on a Milwaukee radio show that maybe the UW could deal with this funding cut by telling faculty to work harder.
He did, and that was a comment he made, as you mentioned, on Milwaukee Talk Radio. He came to Madison later that day, and you know, sometimes when the governor says something in one city, you think you're going to have to ask him about it when he comes to town. Didn't have to ask him about this. I mean, this was something that he volunteered, that he wanted to talk about. He said his budget plan is like Act 10 for the UW, in that it gives the system the freedom to do a lot of things that it can't do now. And he said one of those things could be to force faculty to teach more. Here's the governor.
In the future, by not having limitations of things like shared governance, they might be able to make savings just by asking faculty and staff to consider teaching one more class a semester.
You know, Sean, when I asked Ray Cross, UW System President Ray Cross, about whether shared governance would be retained under this new autonomous UW system, he said that the UW system was committed to that.
Yeah, and also had, I think, from Ray Cross, a pretty forceful defense of mm-hmm. the faculty. I mean, Ray Cross has been very much trying to work with the Republican legislators in a way that his predecessor did not. I mean, he is constantly meeting with them at the Capitol. I think he's pretty well liked among GOP lawmakers and seen as a straight shooter with them. So for him to come out like this and really blast the governor's budget proposal, I think is significant. I mean, that's not just another university administrator blasting cuts to higher ed. This is the guy that's been kind of working with them from the day one of his administration. So we'll see what that means when this bill goes through the legislature.
Yeah, is there any thought? I mean, faculty were really quite upset too to hear the governor say they need to work harder as well, and lawmakers are also thinking that faculty aren't going to take too kindly to this.
Yeah, I think it comes down to whether you want to have Madison as a research institution versus a teaching institution. Madison released a survey of 11 academic departments, or 11 colleges, I want to say, and they said that the average hours worked by faculty was 63 hours a week. Now, a lot of that's on research or other duties. It's not strictly on teaching, mm-hmm. you know, by any stretch. And so if you have them teach more, it's either going to mean, well, we're going to up that from 63 to more like 70 hours a week, or you cut back on research, and faculty will say, you do that, first of all, you're going to lose a lot of faculty to other research institutions. Second of all, you're going to lose a lot of grants that come here for that research, and they won't if more of a teaching institution.
So around the same day that we're reading about the proposed $300 million cut to the UW system, we also learn that the governor does plan to provide some state support for the new arena for the Milwaukee Bucks. Sean, what does he want to do there?
Well, what he wants to do there is he wants to use revenue growth from the taxes played by Bucks players, by visiting NBA players. This is projected revenue growth from here forward, and use that revenue growth to help finance the bonds to pay for this proposal. So, he's saying this is not going to cost any new taxes, that this should be a model for other states around the nation that have to do something like this. But it was released on the same day as the university cuts. And I can just tell you anecdotally, and talking to, just man on the street interviews about this, a lot of people made that connection. They said, like, look, he introduced the budget cut on the same day he introduced this extra funding for the Bucks. So even if they're not related, this is how people are viewing what's happening in Madison now.
And what does he have in mind when it comes to K through 12 education, Sean?
That is the biggest pot of money in the general fund that where the governor has to fill this deficit. And so it begs the question, what does that mean for K-12? He was asked if there were going to be budget cuts there. Here's what the governor had to say.
We're going to try and keep it largely intact. We'll begin talking more in detail about that on Tuesday. We think we can have a positive impact on helping our schools, particularly our traditional public schools, as well as charter schools and other schools that are providing alternatives. We'll all find ways to get assistance in this budget.
So if largely intact means kind of a flat budget, that's still not easy to do if you have to make up several hundred million to balance the budget between now and the end of the next budget.
Well, it's time for us to welcome in our next guest, but can you just sort of wrap up? What else do we know in terms of what the governor plans to propose tomorrow night in the state budget address?
Well, we know another difficult area for him is Medicaid. We know for certain he's not going to accept federal Medicaid dollars, even as other Republican governors decide that they're okay with it as long as they get waivers from the federal government. The governor's been very firm on that. And so, that's another question mark, really. And then what's going to happen with corrections, shared revenue? There's a lot of moving pieces here.
All right, Sean, we will listen for the state budget address tomorrow night at 7 on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks.
Thank you.
We will welcome in State Representative Peter Barca in just a moment, and we will welcome any questions or reactions that you might have for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org.